After Buzzers, you're watching the Black Mirror After Show, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yeah, my favorite decade. My birth decade. Hello, everyone. It's like, welcome to the Black Mirror After Show, Season 3, Episode 4, San Junipero. I'm Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow. It's MSADRIANSNOW. And here are my co-hosts.
I'm Miara Jennings. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miara Jennings.
And I'm Steve Kauf. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Kauf. And that's KAUFMANN.
All right. So, San Junipero. I'll go ahead and say this is my favorite episode of Black Mirror by far in the history of time.
I loved this one, yeah.
First thoughts?
Top three.
It's a top five for me.
Top five. Cool.
It's a very good episode. A very well thought out episode. It's also, in a show where all the episodes are bottle episodes, this is very much its own bottled episode.
Yeah. There's no other...
There's no other reference to anything else.
Well, actually, that is not true. There's one reference because of Ticker.
Yes.
Which is referenced in Playtest. But that's the only reference to any other episode. So, yeah, I think overall... I really loved this episode. It was nice to have a little bit of hope in Black Mirror Land. You just never know what you're going to get. And this is actually one episode that for the first 20 minutes, I was like, what is going on?
Me too.
I have no idea.
Yeah. I had to rewind it a few times because I thought I missed something.
Yeah. Well, I remember the first 30 minutes led me to believe that it was a time-traveling alien. That our main character was a
She was like a cyborg or something?
Or just from another planet.
We hadn't touched aliens
yet. And was able to visit... I know, right?
I
think they try to base themselves in some level of reality, which is weird to say.
Yeah.
Especially on this episode. Like, but the idea that, like, maybe she's a time-traveling alien or a time-traveling being, or this is all a simulation, but if it's all a simulation, why should we care?
Yeah. I didn't know quite... I was like, I don't think she's an alien. And they had me pretty much sold on it being the 80s, because people were like, well, it was, like, so over the top. I'm like, it was the 80s. Everything, it was just like that. Like, it was ridiculous. But when she's first introduced, we're talking in regards to Yorkie. When they made the first reference, I was like, something's off, is when they talked about her glasses not being real.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, why would she have fake glasses? I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe. I know kids who did that, like, when I was in high school.
Yeah, so. I know adults who still do that. So that just
really
rolled off my shoulder, yeah.
I know, that's yeah.
Well, they're stylish now, you
I
know?
I love the glasses wear of the panels. Like, why would someone?
have a prescription for these. They are not fake. They're real. I'm out of contacts right now. That's why I'm wearing them so much. No, yeah. So I didn't... That was something that kind of was like, okay, well, that's a clue to something I don't understand. So there was, for me, a lot of, like... A lot more based on character development this episode than on... technology playing into it. Was a little bit more like Playtest in that sense, but I thought it was a better job of it, where I had actually became invested in the characters.
Absolutely.
So how did you guys feel about Kelly and Yorkie? We're introduced to Kelly, played by Gugu Mbatha-Raw. I think that's how you pronounce
it. Sounded correct.
Who is an awesome British actress.
She's great.
It does an awesome American accent. It was believable. How did you guys feel about her and Yorkie?
I liked Kelly. I think we got right into her character right away when she's just telling that guy, like, listen.
Yeah.
You need to stop. And it was interesting. And just her initial interest in Yorkie.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, why? You know, why her?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting to see that relationship develop. But, I
thought it was more so because Yorkie was kind of... I mean, eventually we discover what it is, but Yorkie was kind of going against what I think a lot of other people were going for in San Junipero. She was kind of, like, just a little bit more bashful and kind of playing down her looks a little bit, whereas everyone else is kind of, like, more amped up and more, like, almost, like, being extremely joyful in their youthfulness.
Yeah.
Which I didn't really pick up on, I guess, because I am still young, so I didn't notice that, like, oh, everyone's, like, really into being, like, young and happy. It just seems like a normal thing.
Well, and the coordinated dance number.
Yeah.
That was the first
but that
thing.
That didn't throw me off.
I still was like, okay, they're regulars.
Yeah.
They know the steps.
Yeah.
Not growing up in the 80s, but knowing knowing how things usually go versus mm-hmm. how you remember them.
Yeah.
That dance number felt like how someone who lived through the 80s would remember a dance floor.
Yeah, it
versus
felt like
an actual dance floor.
It felt like a reference to like Earth Girls or Easy, when there's like a ridiculous dance off in the middle for no reason, or oh god, Can't Buy Me Love, where everyone mm-hmm. learns his dance like within the span of 2 minutes. But I will say this, in my own life, I have started a dance circle at a club, so I wasn't like that surprised by it.
But was it that good though?
It was pretty good.
But there were a lot of stragglers in the...
Starting a dance circle in a club as an adult is hard, okay?
That's why I don't go to clubs. It's too much work.
Convincing 15 people to all stand in a circle, and not just like... to like 70s music. Like, I reeled someone in with a fishing pole. Okay, so like, that's hard.
That's like, to coordinate you.
But I did it.
Weeks of rehearsal.
Or just, yes. That's, so I could see that being like something that's like, yeah, that's like how you remember the 80s versus like how the 80s actually were. And so over the course of just like this one night, their friendship kind of turns into a flirtation, which I was surprised by only because you just like, that's something that is still sadly kind of new in how we deal with television. That's something that usually, if you're going to deal with LGBT storylines, that's something people end up having to talk about immediately. Like, it's immediately addressed. And so I kind of like that they just kind of eased into it, that it wasn't something that was, like, forced upon in that way.
Well, you established them as characters first.
We established them as characters
first. As people,
first.
As characters. They're and not, then, oh, they happen to feel
yeah,
that way.
Exactly. And so that's kind of, we get the idea that Yorkie is engaged in this, it's somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
She has a fiance somewhere.
Yeah.
And that she doesn't know if she necessarily wants to engage with Kelly in that way. But you also see that there is like an interest and an attraction there, mm-hmm. which is kind of like a toying thing that we feel developing. So then we end up jumping 1 week later. And I was kind of like, okay. Were there things that I missed in the 1 week later? Because later...
The text of the 1 week later changed depending on whatever
that
they were
in. That does change. But in between the first meeting of Yorkie and Kelly and the second meeting of Yorkie and Kelly, before we get into the montage of her changing into different types of clothes, did they change years or was it 1987 still?
I think it was the same. I want to say it was the same for the first two. Maybe not.
I
want
to say it was the same, but I wouldn't be shocked if it jumped from 85 to 87 or 87 to 85
yeah.
or 88 or like...
Okay.
If you could jump to any week in time, as long as it's within San Junipero, I would be remiss to stay in the same year week to week.
Yeah. I think that's something that I wasn't sure because they didn't make a reference to like being, there were smaller changes in the beginning that maybe people didn't notice. I read in some like AV Club article mm-hmm. or something like that. And I didn't have time to go back and rewatch. But I feel like that might have been a possibility if there was a slight change. Mm-hmm. Like maybe it was 85 instead of 87.
Okay.
In any case, they come back together again. And this is when you get messed up, when you start messing with timelines. This is when Kelly ignores Yorkie. Is that right? Is
when she's with that other guy.
When she's with that other guy?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, we're at that point. And Yorkie kind of, you know, pleads with her to... Well, first off, before we get to that, we got to talk about that kind of ridiculously awesome montage scene of her changing into different 80s styles.
Oh.
ending with the Addicted to Love chick from Robert Palmer's video and deciding that... That wasn't. She's just gonna put her glasses back on because that was a bit much. But I mean, I do love that video, so I understand the desire. So at this point, we're kind of up. We know that something's up because she can just like change into random costumes from the 80s. It feels like it's being put upon. Not that they're genuinely living.
I
in
still
the
didn't.
80s.
Well, that was the
still
second
didn't
thing.
Get it.
That was the second thing that caught me. That it was like, wow, she's jumping through a lot of very complicated styles
yeah.
very quickly.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was edited that way. I completely didn't blink an eye at it. At
how
any
old
of
are
that.
You?
I'm 24.
That's why.
Okay.
That's not a judgment, but like, I'm 30.
Yeah.
So I get all those references very quickly. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, Robert Palmer, Addicted to Love. Why would she be wearing that? Like, because
okay.
it's very much like a... This is the
like
80s
distinct
type of look.
Looks.
Yeah.
Okay. I just thought she was trying stuff on. So there
yeah.
you go. Mm.
Yeah. Because there are very distinct references to things about the 80s that she was doing. Cool. Sorry. If you're under 25. That's not a judgment. I'm just saying there is a generational change that happens. It's happening faster every year.
Also, also there is a language to television that's way more adapt to someone younger. Because as you said, like, oh, I thought that's how they edited it. That you understand it as its own language.
Yeah.
No, we just skip huge passages of time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas someone...
If you watched Rocky from 1976, which is a Best Picture winner, you could cut that into, like, a 40-minute film. By today's standards. Because the beats are just... There's so much length between the beats.
But there's also, I think, that with that said, like, generational references that are kind of fading out. So there are things that, like... I had to do a play recently, and there was a reference in the play that I didn't get because I'm just too young to get it because I wasn't alive when the movie came out. And the movie isn't like Raging Bull, so I'm not going to understand it. But my teacher was like, no, that's a reference to a movie. And it made him feel really old. It felt really bad. Oh. I'll get over it. But
like, you can't watch all the movies from the
70s. Right. I can't watch all the movies. I can also do my best. Also,
just one thing I noticed from this episode that reminded me of about styles and fashion is it's unfortunate that the 70s style... Very unfortunate. Like, if you look back, like, wow, that looks ridiculous. And then it's unfortunate that 70s and the 80s, we had two generations back to back where it was just, like, very colorful and not like we dress now.
I love 70s. I'm going as a punk rocker for Halloween tomorrow, so.
No, I feel like these days we kind of lost that a little bit. I know you say, like,
boring right
I think
now.
With technology, things are developing so quickly. And, like, even my brother's 16 years old, and there are things I... No idea. But as far as these iconic fashion eras, do we even... I mean, is that a thing right now? We
can't see it right now.
You know? Yeah, but I still feel like we go back, like... We're going back instead of developing new things.
Everybody
says that.
That's a common
practice.
That's
what they said in the 70s, too?
No. But that's a common practice
see? So
right
they
now.
Had, like, 70s.
Yeah, it's a common practice right now, but that's a common practice across the board, not just even in fashion, but, like, in how we deal with entertainment. Like, how many times are you going to, like, pull from my childhood to make something new?
Yeah.
Like, so, but we kind of did that even, like, Addams Family when I was a kid was a reference to my parents' childhood.
Mm-hmm.
So that cyclical thing is not uncommon, but we just do it a little bit more frequently now because we have also more documentation of those times now than we did before. But we'll see our style 15 years from now. We'll be like, oh, like, God, that was in? So I don't know what it is now. Maybe, skinny jeans? We've been in that phase for a long time.
We've gone in and out of that phase a couple times. Like flannel. Flannel tends to cycle a lot.
Flannel cycles through.
90s, then 10s.
Yeah, for sure.
So maybe, I don't know. We'll see what happens when we get there.
Also, this score was amazing, and the gentleman who did the score tweeted very recently that it's going to be out. He's going to release it specifically. I just retweeted him.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, it was great. I'm going to have to go look at that.
I thought it was just a wonderful episode, and we actually have to get into the meat of it. So when they finally meet, when Kelly finally, like, stops being standoffish to Yorkie, Yorkie, she's like, can you just make this easy for me? I don't really know how to do that.
Yeah.
Like, and I totally understand that as somebody who, like, actually has spent the past 20 years operating or 30 years operating through her life. I was like, God, sometimes I just want to be like, can we just make this easy? Like, can we just go out to dinner? Can we just hook up? Like, I don't want to do this whole flirting crap. And they go and they hook up. And that's when we realize that even the very lives that they're living, like, we know they're coming to this place and it's like a vacation resort. But that they may not actually be the age that we think that they are when she's talking about her husband. And Gugu does such a good job with that of, like, showing her age, even though she is by no means the actual age of this woman, of this character.
Mm-hmm.
But she shows that age of, like, talking about her husband and talking about her desire to be with other people but being loyal to her husband. And we also get from Mackenzie just the fact that her parents wouldn't have approved. And that's kind of all we know about her.
Well, at that point.
At that point. And so then in the morning, they talk about wanting to see each other outside Junipero. And Yorkie is ashamed of how she appears outside. I'm like, oh, okay, these people are definitely older.
I didn't even get older at that point. I just thought they were different. I just thought maybe they weren't as they appear, whether that were older or maybe a man, maybe like a different person. I don't know. I just thought that their physical beings were not as we saw.
Yeah. And it became clear that this was all some type of simulation.
Yeah.
That they were all in some regard on a VR, like plugged in, like jacked into the Matrix or something where it's like, oh no, you visit this place. It might be Total Recall. It might just be.
Yeah. But whatever you're going to find outside of it, it's going to be different. And I did, for a split second, think maybe Yorkie was a man. I was like, well, maybe Yorkie's a man, or maybe they're. And so when they decide to meet in person, we first follow Kelly. And Kelly is in an old folks' home and much older. I mean, she didn't look like she was supposed to be like in her 70s.
I think 70s. Yeah.
I think at the end, they reference, I'm not going to say how, but they reference her, the fact that she's in her 70s. And she takes a trip to go see Yorkie because she's in Nevada and Yorkie's in California. And we discover that Yorkie's paraplegic or quadriplegic and hasn't been able to move for the past 40 years of her life. So how did you guys feel when that was revealed?
That was the that was the bleak moment of an otherwise, like, she went in my mind from being a time-traveling robot to a time-traveling alien to, it's just a person visiting some type of vacation destination that's virtual reality and probably cheap compared to actual vacation destinations to, oh no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh no. It's a person that this is their life.
Yeah.
Because they're quadriplegic. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and man. I just love her reaction and, I don't know. I feel like there were some people that I saw discussing this episode on Twitter and whatnot saying that it was too simple, maybe, like their relationship. I think people are so used to the conflict and the dynamic different aspects of Black Mirror and shows like this where they were expecting there to be some big problem or maybe Kelly doesn't want Yorkie anymore, something like that. But she was just like, hey, stupid, gave her a kiss on the head. And it was like, wow. Tear.
Right?
I love it. Yeah.
Well, I think sometimes, especially in modern times, because even you made a reference to that about how like there's quick cuts. Like a movie like Rocky would be considered very boring this day and age. But the beautiful thing about Rocky, and also kind of like the sleazy, like creepy thing about Rocky, is his relationship with Adrian. Like, my name is Adrian, so I've like suffered for 30 years being named similarly to a character from Rocky. I refused to watch Rocky for the majority of my life until Creed came out. And so I was like, okay, I'll watch it. And the thing that sold me on Rocky wasn't the boxing, but it was the relationship that he had with Adrian. So with the thing about this episode is that it's really about the relationship that these two women have together. Yeah. And that is kind of a different approach from how we absorb television nowadays. So you don't really get an episode anymore. It's completely devoted to just people developing a relationship quietly and happily. And, like, there's little conflicts, but that's part of life. So I actually really appreciated that about it.
Yeah, me too. I just thought it was interesting, the other side of that, the other perceptions that people were having.
Yeah, I actually really enjoy hearing everyone else's thoughts on this because I don't want to say I checked out before this twist, but like I was a little little bit gone where I'm like, oh, is this really just? And then the twist, it's not like the twist felt lame to me, but the twist felt encapsulated there and then we kept moving.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like maybe I didn't invest in the characters like I should have, like everyone else did. But like by that point I'm like, oh, okay, so it's just a digital simulation.
Yeah.
And then we learn that it's like, well, it's a digital simulation that can also become your stored consciousness and become the afterlife.
Yeah.
And so, I find that really cool.
That's awesome.
And that's a Black Mirror concept.
Absolutely.
That they went concept and was like, okay, but what about two people who fall in love within that?
Yeah. I think the whole concept of that, of being uploaded, is kind of a terrifying concept for me. I am more so along the lines of like Kelly's husband of like, when things end, they end, and I don't want to keep going. I was like, well, when I get to a certain age, I just want to die.
And so
them playing with that concept of like, but you know, Yorkie's mindset is that, but you can live forever and you can be young forever and we can have this forever is appealing. And I do appreciate the episode kind of ended on that high note versus letting us kind of see, like, what eternity looks like. Because I don't think I would be able to watch them like develop this relationship and then actually watch it like kind of crush under the weight of eternity.
Mm-hmm. And not to mention the perceived tech of this universe would mean that your consciousness is equivalent to that cookie.
Yeah.
That to a certain extent, a part of you does die.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be the part that's talking right. Like, it's tiny, but it can be a big thing. It's like, well, no, they just uploaded your consciousness. You still died.
Yeah.
Like, your soul or whatever else governs mm-hmm. the universe that we don't understand because it's mm-hmm. not science,
mm-hmm.
that's still vanquished.
But isn't that kind of the theory that they're going with, is that the part that they're uploading is kind of the soul of you? And so, and that's why even if you want to leave, you can leave. Like, mm-hmm. if you decide, I don't want to be here anymore, you can just cease to exist. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, it's some very heavy stuff that they're toying with here in terms of, like, afterlife and what people perceive to be the afterlife and people who don't perceive there to mm-hmm. be an afterlife. Which I appreciate, because it's not something that most TV shows ever want to talk about, because this is America.
And without it being the crux. And without it being the crux of the whole show, like a show like The Leftovers handles this well.
Yeah.
Because that's, like, similar. I like to call it the hoodwinking of good screenwriting, mm-hmm. which is you have your hook, which is, like, a bunch of people die, or this happens, or that happens, mm-hmm. or everyone's consciousness is stored, and that's mm-hmm. the hook. And then you get caught on characters. It's just like, wow, I don't even care about...
Yeah.
Like, in The mm-hmm. Leftovers, like, they're season two now. Like, there are a lot of people in the comments who still try to explain how that happened.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not interested. I'm like, no, but is this guy going to be okay?
Yeah.
Like, he's got this house, he's in Texas, yeah. Like, what's happening?
It's trying to explain the unexplainable is what it really is. And so, like, because I think there was an article where they were talking about, I'm so happy that it's so character-driven, because if they tried to explain the tech of the cookies, of the ticker, then it would just spiral out of control, because you're attempting to explain mm-hmm. the unexplainable. You're attempting to explain something that we as people can never come back and talk about.
A known mm-hmm. unknown.
Exactly.
I'm kind of hoping they revisit this place in season four a little bit. And I know this one, a lot of people are saying, oh, it's too happy, it's relationship. But I'd like to actually see the complications in San Junipero in season four, if that's possible. Because I think...
Yeah.
I love the concept, and I would love to get into that a little bit more. Obviously, this one was more character-driven, but I think that would make a pretty cool episode to see maybe if something went wrong, or if someone did fall out of love or didn't want to stay.
Or, like, if you could upload a consciousness, what else could you do? Like,
Well, that's a theory that goes in line with the timeline, but before I say that, mm-hmm. there is that kind of reference to it with the grungy club.
Mm-hmm.
The people who just kind of get lost within the quagmire. Oh, yes, they get lost within San Junipero. But there is kind of... So San Junipero is in timeline is before Be Right Back. Because at Be Right Back, we are at that point where we can
mm-hmm.
essentially... maybe, I don't know. Because there's kind of... Could we merge?
Do we want to get to my crazy theory on timeline?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. I've been thinking about it since, because 15 Million Merits is my favorite episode, or was my favorite episode until Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
And everyone in 15 Million Merits is very young, like roughly 21 to 35, whether they're large or not.
Mm-hmm.
And they're powering something, and we're left to believe that the rest of the world ceased to exist. But if that were the case, what happened to anyone younger or anyone older?
Mm-hmm.
My theory... And then if you look at the episodes in scope, including these six, how often do you run into, within the timeline, let's say anything post a certain episode,
mm-hmm.
within that timeline, how many 21 to 35-year-olds do you actually see? Like, you could argue all the characters in Nosedive were roughly over 30, or that Nosedive is pretty close to National Anthem.
That is interesting. I don't remember seeing any children.
My theory is, at some point in the universe, anyone 21 to 35
mm-hmm.
has to go to the power silos.
Mm-hmm.
And the power silos are not only powering the entire universe
mm-hmm.
and the tech and the power it takes to power all this crazy tech without mm-hmm. destroying the Earth, but they're also powering the eternal youth of the old. Because that would, if you're storing everyone's consciousness, that would take an immense amount of power.
Mm-hmm.
in fact, in an entire population of young people peddling.
Mm-hmm. Wait, so where are the children in your theory?
In my theory, you turn 21, and unless you're rich or valuable to society otherwise,
you peddle.
You okay. peddle till you're about 30. And maybe if you're lucky within that
then you're
kind
of
entrapment,
out.
You can be the you can go on Hot Shots. It's also
something
I didn't notice till after the after show, but the woman from episode 2 of season 3 mm-hmm. that he met with, it was the same actress as someone on a Hot Shots commercial, but she was older. So the argument would be that you could kind of get your freedom through Hot Shots or otherwise build up enough merits to move on.
Yeah.
And
that's interesting.
It's interesting also because you can see a couple different references to people's usernames, like people's usernames of like Pie Ape, because they kind of called the bigger people of that society apes or bigger. You're either cleaning up a workstation or you're on TV being pretty much lampooned and shamed. It's a theory I've been working on, and I don't have the timeline quite right in my mind of like which episode this would have started. Probably post Waldo National Anthem, Hated in the Nation, like Shut Up and Dance, post like the modern ones. At some point, there's a turn where they say, we cannot rely on fossil fuels, we can't rely on coal, we can't rely on anything, but if all the young people can be forced to peddle, they will power our world, and they will also power eternal youth. That said, all the young people have to give up their youth. It's really fascinating.
That's a possibility. I could see that happening after something like Hate It in the Nation. Because there is also a big running theme throughout Black Mirror of how the public deals with shame.
Yep.
And that kind of comes to a head in the last episode of the season. So that is a possibility. I could see them toying with that, especially for season 4.
Something about that, because there's... especially people point to the tech of 15 million merits as like the actual avatars and how it looks very like Wii U.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, if this is like a post-apocalyptic 200-300 years away from now, society had fallen, it would look better, wouldn't it? So like that plays into the idea that it's kind of
somewhere in the middle.
Kind of modern. That it's a thing people just don't talk about that. And it might not be every country. It might just be Britain.
It would be something that happens, and we'll have to jump into it. It would be something that plays into Men Against Fire, I think.
Yep.
If you think about how it's kind of like this desolate land.
Yeah, so idea of controlling the young as well.
Yeah, and it's still about controlling the young.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think on that note, we're going to wrap up this episode of Black Mirror. Does anyone have any final thoughts about San Junipero?
Nope, just very well done. I hope to see more of it in season 4.
Yeah, if we could get a little bit more love, I think that'd be great.
Or if if the quagmire represents what prison's like. Because if you don't want... So you can take someone's consciousness and then kill them. And then prison is a separate type of San Junipero.
You are going way into theories. We gotta wrap this up.
That's fair.
I am Adrian Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrian Snow. And where can they follow you all?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miera Jennings.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at Steve Kaufman. That's KAUFMANN.
All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we'll see you soon.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.